Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Julie Fedorchek. I'm chair of the Public Service Commission, and we're here on the 12th floor of the Capitol for a work session on Northern Excavating Damage Prevention Enforcement cases. Cases number PU 13-877, 878, 879, 880, 881, 882, 883, and PU 14-134. We typically stream this on the web, but I understand we're not streaming on the web today because a system is down. So we are broadcasting. And Daryl, what was the other option that folks have? Okay, so where's that number?
Yeah, I'll take that number and email him.
So where are we broadcasting? Or we're just recording right now?
Well, we are on the bridge.
And okay, but nobody knows the bridge is so, right?
It's out on the web. The web, it was announced on the web that we were broadcasting via the web.
I emailed the man who was having surgery yesterday, so could I just have the bridge information?
Oh, sure.
Email him again, but I said it was going
to
be available.
We're in the process of emailing one party we know wants to be included in the discussion, and the other information was posted on the website with the bridge call-in number. So, I do not have any opening comments myself on this case, so I will ask my colleagues, starting with the portfolio holder, Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, ma'am. The only comments I'd have beforehand is just I noticed that we've got Victor at the table here, and you're at advocacy staff, so I don't know that it's appropriate that this needs to be just advisory staff at the table, the way I understand that. So is it everybody else on the right side of the fence here, if you will? Pat, your advisory staff. And then for Jack and Casey, you guys would also be advisory staff, just to make sure that...
You're right. Yeah.
Not the personal Victor, but you're more than welcome to just... You're not allowed to participate in a work session because you've on the other side of
you. You're one of the interested parties.
Yes. But other than that, that's all I have, ma'am.
Okay. Excellent. Commissioner Christman?
I do not have any opening comments.
Okay. Then I guess I'll turn it over to you, Brian, to kind of lead the discussion today and bring forth what you'd like to throw out there for matters on this case.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I guess we all, of course, sat through the hearings and we kind of cobbled together with the time constraints and ability to make a decision on a set of cases that involved the damages from Northern Excavating to RTC, and the staff recommended a variety of fines on that. Quite honestly, going into the hearing, I had reviewed the information, and I was curious to hear what the Northern Excavating response would be, and I thought that initially there was some good points that were made, but towards the end of their case, it really just kind of fell apart with their lead witness coming up and basically admitting that, yeah, we didn't call and those kind of things, and it just, I really don't see anything other than Northern Excavating is guilty on all counts. And the question that I have, I guess, is that we've had cases in front of the commission before. We've had a $12,000 consent decree that we didn't have majority or didn't have unanimous decision on. So my thought process would be, for me personally, is that they're guilty on all counts. But find a dollar amount that we think is appropriate that all three of us would agree on and break that apart however we want to, and then move on that. I don't think it's... Their case was not very good. And RTC's case was very good. The advocacy staff's case was rock solid. There's extenuating concerns out there that this company is bankrupt and all those, but that I don't think really affects our decision. But I would say that for me it's, going the full dollar amount, I would certainly support that, but I don't know that my colleagues would on that. So that's kind of, I guess, where I'm at. And to cue it up as frankly as I can.
My biggest disappointment with this case was the lack of cooperation between the contractor and the company whose infrastructure he damaged. I felt like there could have been so much more productive way to handle this, and I think we wouldn't be sitting here today if they just had done some of the simple things like returning phone calls and talking about what's going on and what had happened, because that telephone co-op had, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there was something like 95 of these cases where their damage is, and this is the only one that is in our office under complaint. So they clearly have a way of working through this stuff, and that's much better for everyone involved. The company or the contractor seemed to indicate he was surprised by the availability of a consent, possibility of a consent motion and or an agreement, and seemed even post facto interested in that. I don't know if have you guys heard anything about whether there's been any additional discussions to that end on a consent agreement? No.
Madam Chair, I would just, because that I too was a little surprised on that, but I remember that was when the questions ensued that we actually had to serve this individual with the sheriff, that may have been the testimony on the stand, but the lack of willingness to talk to anybody, I think, to me, offset that.
Do you have a fine level you want to propose?
Before we get into fines, as far as the... I don't know if guilt is the right word on these, but...
Noncompliance.
I'm close to being in agreement with you, but I do have one of these cases that I'd like to discuss a little bit more before we get to that point. I agree with you, though, Julie. You know, the lack of discussion with the people whose infrastructure was damaged is what's so frustrating. My own experience with some of these companies, as well as what's on the record that you mentioned, is that, you know, for the most part, if something happens, it's bad enough. But if you work with them, you don't end up with these cases. And there's just seemed to be a complete unwillingness to acknowledge that problem. But in case number 882.
Okay.
Is that the S-curve?
The S-curve. You know, I don't take perfect notes during these. I'm kind of trying to listen to the whole overall picture. But I'll tell you what I wrote down in my notes, and I'll bring this up because I'd like to know if you guys interpreted it differently. Cassie from RTC, I wrote down that she said that Northern Excavating was not made aware of that there was a S in that line somewhere from a previous damage. And... what was Lindbergh's guy's name? Kyle said that cut occurred more than 2 feet from the marked line. Mm-hmm. And I never heard RTC dispute that. If it's more than 2 feet, is it really their fault? They had a marking done. They were more, you know, we never got in. He never gave an answer to what was more than 2 feet, and someone delved into that. So was it, you think it was 2 feet and an inch, or was it 15 feet? And he never was specific on anything. But if it's more than 2 feet, is it really a violation?
In that one, I noted that discrepancy. I remember Cassie saying it was within the boundary or within the 2 feet. And then I remember Kyle saying specifically, I don't know how far, but without outside of the 2 feet. And so that's it, right. Was he said, she said type of thing that was just different. And nobody offered any additional evidence that I recall to clarify who was right.
Well, and one viewpoint would be that whether it was 2 feet or 6 feet, if you're using care required, you shouldn't be hitting people's facilities. But I'd be willing to, if you feel that particular case is one that you have some questions on, but the rest you're okay with, that one we could just write an order such that says we don't have enough to find guilt there or to find noncompliance, but there's certainly enough in the other ones that, to me, where this one we leave it open-ended, but the other ones we close it up and move on.
The other seven, We're dealing with 134 too, right? We merged that in with the seven that were the other.
They're not really merged, but we are dealing with with them on this meeting.
Okay. Yes. Well, the other seven, I have some more to discuss when it comes to the penalties, but I agree completely that there was noncompliance on the other seven. I don't know what to do about 882.
Well, I would be fine as the 882, we'd leave it open-ended, just like we've done in other cases that we, there's not enough information to make a determination on that one, so we zero that one out.
Was 882 just the S-curve, or was it?
It gives the date of a particular damage to a 75-pair copper cable. We're properly marked to excavation the cost. So it's pretty specific to that one spot, the way I would read it.
Okay.
But, back to your question, Commissioner Fedorchak, about the dollar amount. I mean, the rough amount to start off staff recommended was just over $17,000. And so, if you take out 882, you probably bring that amount down. Probably, depending where it fell out in the batting order, probably takes away about $5,000. I don't remember the exact number, but, I think that in this particular case, if we were landed somewhere in that $10,000 to $15,000 range, I think I would be okay with that. And I would even be open if my colleagues think that is too much or too little. But just to put that out as a start of discussion that there's seven different damages we could.
Would you want to go through the schedule that the advocacy staff laid out and kind of, say yes, no, too high, too low? Because there was kind of a sequential increase that, and there was sort of a formula followed there.
If you were to use Jim's criteria in this case, what would the discussion be like?
I have no idea.
Well, but I'll throw it out there, though, because part of
we don't have it. So.
Part of the staff going forward is that the way I remember the testimony was the first violation was X dollars, and the second one was there was an increase factor because it was the second violation. But then there was a good question by Commissioner Crispin about, it's kind of unfair to build upon these when they've never really been acted on before. It wasn't like there was a violation and they were found guilty of that and they did a second violation. So I'd be willing to treat these almost like, okay, there was seven different violations, roughly $2,500 a piece. They all happen in roughly the same time frame. That's how we get to the $10,000 or the $15,000. And then if they come back, then now the next cases that come in front of us, that's a little bit different. But that would be where we take away the escalating factor, which would then bring that dollar amount down a little bit, which it could even be less, quite honestly, because in discussions we've had on other things, I think the key point here is to move forward on a decision, set it out there, and those that have suffered the damages will use this to help them do things in other areas.
Say that again, that last piece.
In the previous discussion we've had as a commission about, what it is our orders can do for companies that need to recoup damages, whether we have a fine of $50,000 or $10,000, the key point here is that we've made a decision that has found someone in noncompliance, which really helps them go back and recover their costs, because the money that comes to the commission, it doesn't go to us. It goes to the general fund and will never be used to recoup the costs of the company's losses. Mm-hmm. But us getting to a decision, I think, will help them in that endeavor. Mm-hmm. So I'm less wrapped around the final dollar amount than making an expeditious, correct, quick decision, since this has been out there for such a long time.
Yep.
I guess I can recalculate what the fine amount in total would be if we take out the escalation part of it.
Sure. And that would be one
I don't know, you might
possible starting point.
I did for the first seven.
So what's that then?
If they're all 500 plus the ones that had the severity, but I'm keeping 882 in here, then it would be 6,500. But that's not including number 134, because I didn't have how much of that was severity and how much of it was whatever offense it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
don't know what they're looking at, but we should maybe look at ourselves.
Advocacy staff could file it, or we could just come up with, yeah, exactly. You could come up with your own, yeah. Is this an order, or what is it when we finally pass it?
This is a proposed order from advocacy staff.
Okay, and I don't, the ones that we have, the, oh, I didn't get those. Oh, I probably did. They might, yeah, that'd be great. I don't have
they filed, and we did get them. I did email them to Mr. Lindbergh because he was entitled to file, but I think, you know, he chose not to. And that's when he said he was having surgery on Friday, and that's when I said he could listen in. So these are two proposed orders. These are not drafted by us, Pat and I. They're
right.
But they do have, this, you know, what you heard as and saw in the complaints. That's what's in here for the fines. So you can... You can see those as recommended and asked for by advocacy staff.
I was just thinking, if a case is separated by time, and maybe we've combined them all into one hearing, but there is some time separation between some of them, is that a different consideration?
Well, I think it could be, but I guess what I was, I'd throw this out to my colleagues, is that based on those draft orders that we have and the feedback that I get from the two of you, I could certainly work with our staff to come up with a proposed order that we all three would agree on, because I think I've heard a lot of consensus in the three of us. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to settle in on, you know, what you might think is an end state, and I'll engineer to that design and put something together.
I don't have a proposed solution, but let me just, this will kind of show you what I'm thinking. No, I'm just talking about the seven cases that were in one package. So 882 is in this, but 134 is not. As I made my notes, there was $3,000 of that 17 that was for severity. And those dealt with four of the seven cases. And then 14,000 of it was that escalating 500, 1,000, 1,500. If we made those all $500, just didn't have the escalating, but did the $500 on each one of them, then it would come down from $17,000 to $6,500. But then, like I say, if we were going to not do 882, that would have to come out, and 134 would have to go in. In a way, that almost seems to me kind of lower than I had hoped for, based on the, I don't know, the brazenness and disregard for people's property. So my next thought after that was, okay, I think it's wrong, and I think we would be overturned in a court if we do this escalating all on one case. You know, I think at one point I kind of had in mind, if you go through a red light or a yellow light, but you're not fast enough and the police determine it's red and you get found guilty, you're going to get a point or two or three or whatever the amount is. Well, now if they go back and look at their video they take and they find a bunch more of those and they take away your driver's license, I think we'd all be saying, now wait a minute, until the first time we address this, you can't be tacking those other ones on. So I'd be concerned about doing that. But the fact that they did know they had hit things, would it be possible to not have the quick escalation like we would if they had actually been found in violation and penalized, but just maybe go from 500 on the first one to a consistent 1,000 on all the rest? Because of the fact that, yeah, they haven't been processed and penalized, but they did know they're hitting stuff out there.
Yeah, and it would have been, because they're so close, it would almost have been impossible to process it and yeah, penalize them in time to allow for the escalating factor. It just wouldn't be feasible.
And if we did that, the first case would be 500, the net on number of offenses, the next six would all be 1,000 each, which would bring our total to right around that $10,000 mark.
And six and 1,000, yeah, with the 3,000 severity.
And yeah, that's exactly, that's kind of the range I was thinking of, that just that 10,000, greater than 10,000 seems to send a much larger signal than less than that. Mm-hmm. And it just, I could certainly put together something like that if that's what you both would agree on.
Approach.
I'm sure Patrick and I and our crack staff could work something like that pretty quick. And then we still have a second batch, if you will, of these cases for Northern Excavating that will unfold as time goes. Okay.
And then would you, under that scenario, because the second one, or the 14-134 fine was 5,500 just alone, so would that one be 1,000 plus severity too?
I would.
Would it be a washout? That would kind of wash out with
that's
the 882?
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay.
But now, the only question I have hanging out, would we require them to pay for the damage?
In the way I read the law is that once we would have a violation that we would issue, they have to pay for the damage. It's not a gray area. They have to, by law. They've got to pay for the damages.
I'd also point out that in the proposed orders, if you look in the conclusions of law, it says, it kind of just states the law, mm-hmm, there on that in that respect about liable for damages.
Mm-hmm.
Where did I see that? For all cases, I think.
Yeah, four. Well, at least in the 14th dash case, the 14-134, it's number four
number
under
19.
Conclusions of law.
Is there a date on what you're looking at?
Just came in about three days ago or so.
I don't think I brought one with me.
But to your point, Commissioner, it's...
All right. Anyway, I think you're going to get a copy here. It's number...
Can I just ask, did those get sent? More copies delivered?
I don't know how you... They got docketed, yeah, and they got served on Mr. Lindbergh. But I don't know how your internal process is for whether you want things, how the people that give you your copies of things. I mean, I don't think John sent them to you like he does grain things, because you said that's when the grain things sent. So,
well, I want anything sent. I mean, that's a separate discussion. But, yeah, I'm starting to not get copies of stuff filed, and I want this stuff. I want everything that we're going
to have. We'll have to talk about how you want that done.
It used to be that if something came in a docket, there would be a record of who wanted paperwork for that docket, and then those people all would get the paperwork.
Yes, and I think that was, like, overridden by too much emailing. I don't know how any of this works. Mm-hmm. I know that I tell them what I need. So we'll have to figure that out, and I'm sorry, but I didn't
know. Well, I guess I'll go talk to John, because I think that's, yeah, and maybe that was my fault. I didn't.
Well, that or
I've been getting stuff all along until
Kathy
just lately.
In the PUD, you know, in the PUD thing. I don't know how you want
to
work it. I don't know if John's going to be sending everything out. Yeah,
it would have been John.
Okay. Well, so it's obviously not working the way it used to. We don't send them.
So your point was this part about that Northern is liable to reimburse RTC.
It's a conclusion of all in our order. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like the epiphany I had here a while back, that the dollar amount isn't as important as just reinforces what the current law says, and the law says that they have to do it. And this helps them do that, whether it's $1 or $20,000.
And I was going to ask Alana if that was okay.
Is it a judgment?
It is okay. A couple other things will change, but not anything substantive.
Okay. That's good. So do we have what we need?
I can put together an order, and we can staff it around. And if there's a request for a work session, we could do that. Otherwise, we could probably have it done for maybe our meeting even next Wednesday. For sure, the following 2 weeks.
More likely.
More likely that.
It won't be next Wednesday. Yeah,
won't be
next Wednesday.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about consolidated for Wednesday.
That's right. Oh, I got a note from Paul Schessler from Consolidated by
saying. Thank you.
Thank you note. Yep.
Okay, so I think that, unless you have anything more, Commissioner Christman?
I do not.
You've already concluded?
No, ma'am.
All right, then I guess that concludes our work session this afternoon on the previously mentioned eight cases. Thanks, everybody.